The Vox Markets Podcast.
It's 12 o'clock. Welcome to Taking Stock. It is the 25th of the 1st, 2024. It's a bit of a dreary day, but to brighten it up, we have Vadim Alexander, Head of Healthcare, in his mint green jumper. Yes. I wish the markets were green today, Vadim. They're not. Yesterday, I had a colleague of yours on, John Mayer, yeah. and let's get rid of that. And all green on the screen. And you came on today. You're wearing green, and it's all red.
you can't win them all.
No, there we are. Nice little rally yesterday, but let's see. The FTSE 100 is down, fifth of 1%. Some of the rises there: Intermediate Capital Group, Smurfit Kappa, Mondi, BP, WPP, Marks & Spencer's. But it's all red here. And in fact, again, this is, I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but the AIM All Share is down just a tad. It's faring the best out of all the indices, even though it's tad. So it's holding up. It has had a bigger fall of late, down 44% from the high 2 years ago. Over 2 years ago now, Vadim. That's unbelievable, isn't it?
We're playing catch up. I mean, that's the point. That index is the innovation index, if you like. It has all the tech companies, the biotech companies, all the innovations. So you would expect those were the sectors that were hit the hardest. Large caps move quickly, but then people look for risk elsewhere. So there you go. Yeah. I think it's catching up.
September the 7th was the high, 2021, to over 2 years ago. We're still not in a bull market. But there's an article out yesterday I read, which is from the City AM. And this is very interesting. It says, UK is quickly escaping a mild recession. So, first of all, hang on a sec. it hasn't been official recession, but we sort of know this is in because the markets have been, especially AIM, has been pricing this in. But they're talking about which I covered yesterday, the Purchasing Managers Index, services and manufacturing. Now, manufacturing was still contracting, but they both beat estimates. And in fact, services, which is 80% of our economy, did very well. It's back in growth territory. And this is a couple of economists here. Chris Williamson, chief business economist, S&P Global Market Intelligence, said the survey's a promising start to the year. While Gabriella, this is the quote I like, Gabriella Dickens, senior UK economist at Pantheon Macroeconomics, said the recovery is the economy is quickly escaping the mild recession that we went into in the second half of last year. So that's the first time someone's actually confirmed almost an economist saying, we were in recession, It's always been, we may be in recession. But Gabriella there is saying, we were in recession. There's a picture here showing pretty much, this is the composite and down and down. And this is the GDP in grey and the output. And so it dipped down last year, it looks like. And now we're back up here. This is the composite. The composite, of course, is the combination of the manufacturing and the services sector. So, if that's the case, then, which is what we thought essentially, markets tend to start rallying, when a recession is confirmed. If that was a recession, and then we can go back here and say, well, this is probably the bottom then, pricing the recession. And in fact, if you look here, the 50-day moving average is in blue. It's coming up. It hasn't crossed over. We haven't had a cross here, what's called a golden cross, since back in COVID times. And it's tantalizingly close. And if that price stays above the 50-day moving average, it'll cross the 200-day moving average, and that'll be a golden cross. That hasn't happened for years. So let's look with the prices at the 744, the 734 and 750. So we're not far off. 16 points off a crossing, which is a good sign, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think I've always been a believer that this was going to be a soft landing because I don't see where the fundamental problem is. In the big debt crisis of 2008, we knew where the problems were. The debt crisis was obvious to all. The entire mortgage backed security issue, all of the household debt was out of control. We're not in that position anymore. There is no debt crisis. Equity markets have come off. We've seen it come off. It's happened. So that bubble has burst and now it's recovering. I just don't see where the problem fundamentally. Rates have gone up. It was a worry a year ago. We've been at pretty high rates for a sustained period. and the economy hasn't slowed down drastically. It hasn't kicked the economy into a recession. That hasn't happened. So where's the problem today? Where is it coming from? I mean, do you see it? Where do you see the non-soft landing thesis anymore?
I said yesterday, you know, in fact, let me just clean my camera. Do you know what? I got to apologize. My son bought toilet roll, right, from Asda. And this is what's on the toilet roll, like sort of emojis, as if you need reminding of what you need to do. But anyway, yeah, no, I said yesterday that it's funny that, you know, everyone's trying to guess which month the Bank of England will reduce interest rates. And I think, what's the point trying to guess that? It's no point trying to pinpoint a month. Pointless. No. What we do know is that they will be coming down. And so, you know, already the American market's priced in. The UK markets don't seem to want to. And I don't know why that is. I don't know what's happening in America. It's maybe more liquidity, more algorithmic trading out there. But, you know, their stocks are starting to sort of bounce from the bottom there. And in fact, the Magnificent Seven are pushing it all up. So it's a bit distorted. But it's almost as if, don't worry about the month interest rates going to come down. They are going to come down, and that will help business. It'll help equities because, like I said, people sitting on, say, 5 cents will not be getting that any longer. And if they see the market rallying, they'll transfer money. There'll be money inflow. So, I don't see. I mean, you may see, you know, some companies who've got a lot of debt still struggling for a while. But even as, you know, interest rates come down, it'll help them. They'll re-rate because they've already been hammered because the debt they hold anyway. So,
Well, we're seeing, I mean, we are just in terms of stocks. We are seeing that start to, we spoke about one last week, E-Therapeutics, like to speak about Tissue Regenix this week, just as an example of, now these stocks are actually delivering. So they are, you know, they're generating good data, good announcements, but, you know, stocks are rallying again. And that's a good thing. We haven't seen that in 2 years. So we're seeing stocks, you know, E-Therapeutics doubled. Tissue Regenix is up about 20-30% in the last week. You know, there's many others like that. It's one, we mentioned it last week, we're starting to see one by one these healthcare stocks get picked off in terms of rallies happening. Now, it then goes into a, you know, reverts back into a zigzag upwards. So, you know, some of the gains are taken off the table, but that's okay. It's, you know, the lows are kind of not as hot, as low as the previous lows, right? So you're seeing that classic zigzag upwards. So I think it's happening. I think we're starting to see it. It's just not going to happen overnight.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, it's not a good tissue. It is on the most red. It's 10th most red here on Vox. Trading update for the year 2023.
Another strong year. Basically another strong year. Yeah, I mean, 20%. This company, I hold this company. I've held it for years. I like it a lot. It's a company that's moving into becoming a proper company in terms of size of its revenues, and it's put by virtue of that, it's putting it on the radar of bigger companies for an acquisition target. I think that's how it's going to end up. It's going to get acquired. So they do about $30 million in revenue. They've been growing for 3 years at 20% ish, 20 to 25% year on year growth in revenues. And now they've just broken into a bit of profitability, hitting all expectations, exceeding them actually. And it's sustained. The point is it's sustained growth. It won't be long, in my opinion, before people realize that it shouldn't be trading strictly on 2x sales. I think this company should be on 4x sales. But this is a symptom of the markets now, although the markets are picking up on this one again. And in the last week, it's become obvious again.
So total revenue is expected to increase by 20.6% to 29.5 million ahead of expectations. Revenues are 29.6 million at constant currency. Okay. And EBITDA, like I said, profitability. It's had a rough time, isn't it? And like I said, hit lows, retested lows down here back in March 2022. But look at that. It's been quite volatile, but you can see there a series of higher highs, a series of higher lows. Then it's come off a bit and consolidated, and today it's pushed up a little bit. But
I think the key is over that whole period, the business has been growing at that same steady pace. They've only delivered over the last 3 years. I mean, revenues have doubled in this business in the last 3 years. And they continue to march forward at that pace. So that's why I like it. I like this business. They've become cash self-sufficient. The cash balances are growing now. out of organic cash flows, which is great. They have about $4.5 million in cash. Yeah. This is what we all kind of wanted to see out of this business, is now they're self-sufficient financially. You know, if they keep growing like this, they're going to start becoming profitable, quite profitable, I think.
What's the market cap
here? About 40 42. Million, 45 million.
Yeah, 42 saying there. Okay, cool. Marvelous. TRX is ticker there. I'm just looking at the chart. It has that sort of previous highs is in this range, pretty much. It's not closed above, 57. And it did yesterday before the trading update. And that's nice there. So it seems like it's trying to break into a new range. So it's consolidated for a while, a little trader range, but it seems to have broken out of that. There we are, some profit takers there. It rose up high today. It went to 64 pence, and it's come around to 59. But there we are. It's good news from them. Some news on the product page. Clean Tech Lithium hosts major green lithium seminar in Chile. Atlantic Lithium, advanced offtake partnering. I've done, a chat with Neil. He talks about their the Ghani and Minerals Investment Fund, putting $5 million in, which is good. Of course, the government backing their lithium project. Talked about that yesterday. Let's talk about some more. Most read Helium One Global, biggest riser today. It's most read and biggest riser. You think, oh, that's a good rise. But if you look at the chart, then essentially they've been beset with technical troubles trying to sort of explore for helium, which is a very interesting market. In fact, it's a lot used in medical healthcare and all that stuff, helium. And there's quite a short supply. But if we look at the chart, then you'll think, okay, well, look at that. So that 50% rise today doesn't really register because it's been hammered. You know, it's come down from. I remember talking to the CEO of the IPO here back in 2021. And look at that. It took off. Literally. Let's move that a second. Took off. It's almost like 30 pence. And then it's come down to 0.285, even with today's rise. But at least now it seems technically. You know, it's a tricky business at exploring. You know, there's so many things that can go wrong, so many moving parts. But they have reached total depth on their well there. So the elevated helium shows over 20 times above background have been consistently measured. So, hopefully a bit of respite. Well, I don't know if you'd buy that at the bottom. Greatland Gold was a popular one from previous. Have you heard an update? Doesn't seem like people are cheering that on, but that was one of the best performers of the last few years. Novacyt, did you look at this? It's down 6.3%. Trading update, it's in your area. Unaudited statutory revenue expect to be 11.6 million in line with management guidance of which 600,000 relates to COVID. So you can see now they're pivoting. Cash, this is very interesting, 44 million written the cash consideration associated cost of the acquisition of Eugene, and the group remains debt free. So they have got 44 million of cash. They are 33 million market cap. Now people think, well, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, but I'll tell you, I mean, the issue, and we've touched on it before, the fundamental problem that's there's a long shadow hanging, or, you know, they have this issue with the DHSC, which is many COVID businesses had, right? They have a dispute. The thing is the size of it is substantial. So I think it's something like 130 million, a claim against them from the DHSC. They have a counterclaim of something like 80 million, and that just hangs over them. So until that, and there is a timeline, which is good. And the timeline is fixed, I think, for June. Their court date is June. And you'd hope that they would settle before then on some agreement. Part ways on a handshake would be ideal. But until that gets resolved, I think most investors are looking at this and saying, well, I don't know how to price that in, because a dispute is difficult to predict what the outcome will be. So I think that's the issue with the pricing. In terms of the business itself, once that gets resolved, and like I said, I think it's June, we'll go back. I think the market will return its focus on the actual business. They did make an acquisition of a company called Eurgene, which has brought in acquisitive revenue, which is good. And that's starting to feed through results. The current trading statement was about 4 months of the year since the acquisition. So you don't have the full year effect yet of the Eurgene acquisition. But on a pro forma basis, it looks like they're doing about 20, 25 million in revenue, something like that. And the key is that there are no more COVID revenues. So we don't have to look at COVID anymore. This is all about effectively, there's still some residual COVID revenues, but they're de minimis. Now it's all about how they can take this combined entity and the pro forma, like I said, estimates that are about 22 million or 20 million revenues, and start growing that revenue base, because that's all non-COVID tests, or mostly non-COVID tests. And that's the challenge. That's the future of this combined business.
They don't even, I don't think they've even mentioned, they did have cash of, how much did they pay for your gene? 16.7 million. They did have cash of 81 million in their interims. It's kind of 44 now, but they don't even mention the, in their interim results. Didn't even mention the legal issues, which is all.
It should be mentioned somewhere. There, I mean, that's well established. They've been talking about that for years now.
Yeah,
since COVID. Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe in the body text you should.
Probably. If anyone knows that, provisions. Okay. It's probably in the bottom here somewhere. But yeah.
So it's still overshadowing this business. There's no easy way to put it. It is what it is. It's a difficult situation. Until that gets resolved, I can see why people aren't buying the stock. It's putting pressure on the shares, basically, irrespective.
They do mention it actually. In the footnotes and all that stuff. Okay. Exactly. United Oil and Gas, confirmation of license, they've fallen off a cliff recently because they haven't been paid from the Egyptian sort of side of the business. Fevertree, of course, once a stock market darling, pre-close trading update. This is for the year ended the 31st December. Good operational progress today has resulted in doubling of EBITDA in the second half of the year, despite a challenging trading environment. Now, if you look at this, total revenue is, 364 million. And 6% growth. But I'm just thinking, it's not a high margin business. I mean, I know it's got a bit of hype around it, but it's 1.1 billion this company is. So there we are. It's one of those ones that was first move advantage into that premium sort of mixers space, And literally, it's from a low base, the growth was very good. And then, if you look at that, from the IPO, it couldn't do anything wrong. It was a stock market darling. But now the market has changed a little bit. And of course, you've got other people coming. When you have a company that steps into an area like that, like I say, with big margins, and they are gaining market share massively, then that's the capital markets. The people will jump in and say, there's an opportunity there for other people. And so look at that. It went from 165, where did it go to 40 quid. It's a nice return, isn't it? Wow.
Yeah.
It hardly touched. Look at that. That's a 200-day moving average there. It hardly touched it all the way up. Let me get rid of the 50 so you can see it more closely. Look at that. Hardly touched it all the way up. And all of a sudden, it did. And then that showed trend was breaking down a little bit. And it's going back down now. From 40 quid, it's at £10. But I don't see that. Is there a good value there? I don't know. I don't know if it is. But it doesn't seem like to me. I think it's living a bit off, past.
It's hard to pile in at this level. I mean, don't you find it's, yes, it looks cheap by historic stats.
Yeah, and they're listed. It's probably 100 million market cap or something like that, And so,
I guess
in the meantime,
my question would be, do you think they're going to exceed 6% growth?
I don't know. In this market, no. It's premium mixes. When that started years ago, I don't know if you saw today, which is quite annoying for brands and businesses, but when that started back in 2014, the likes of Aldi and Lidl, there's less of them, and they weren't ripping off brands and stuff.
Absolutely.
Aldi and Lidl now are everywhere. And I don't know if you saw today in the court has actually ruled against Thatcher's cloudy lemon cider. And where was it? I'll find it, right? How are they getting away with this? I thought, how are they getting away with this? Because let me just scroll down. I'm sure I saw.
But you remember when Fevertree, came to market. It wasn't in every pub and every bar. You couldn't. It was like a novelty product, and people would ask for it, and you'd be happy when you find it. Now it's everywhere, right? And well done to them. I mean, it's an incredible story to have replaced something that was already bog standard. So they've created a brand out of an area that, quite frankly, I thought was already established. So they've done something really well. But now it kind of feels like they've saturated the market. Yeah. So, I can expect 6% growth. I wouldn't expect 25% growth in terms of them stealing massive market share. Where is it that you go where you can't find a Fevertree bottle?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly. And not really that. Like I said, you've got this going on. Look at this. This is today.
And then erosion. And then erosion.
Thatcher's lose High Court trademark battle with Aldi after copycatting. Look at that. That's Thatcher's, right? They've been around for years. That's Aldi. Exactly the same, but it's cloudy lemon cider. You can see they're trying to, you know, they're very closely copying that. They call this Taurus. I think that the people marketing at Aldi and Lidl must have a hell of a laugh. So how close can we get? They're actually infringing. Name and the judge apparently said the taste test. He said no, it tastes different. I mean, I just think, come on, they've spent years on that brand. That is very similar. You know, very similar indeed.
Yeah.
And I think they've got it, even if you, okay, if it's about taste, then just change the packaging a little bit so it doesn't look like it, doesn't look like you rip it. So, like I said, that's probably where I bet if you go into Aldi and Lidl now, there's plenty of lookalikes of Fevertree stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So,
well,
back when Fevertree came out and launched theirs back here, they probably.
It was a novelty product. Everybody wanted it. You know, it was new. I agree. And now it just feels like it's saturated a bit. And if anything, they're getting, as you say, eroded by, you know, competitors, cheaper competitors, other brand names that are novel. It feels like that growth phase is gone. That initial first few years where it was novelty, you know, they did well then. Fantastic for doing it.
If you're a growth company and you don't have growth, then what are you?
Well, that's it.
Because then people start looking at your valuation and then you realize it isn't actually good value, you know.
Yeah, well, that's it.
Continue growing at that rate, grow into that value, you know. But
I feel like the growth phase is past for this business. I'm not, you know, haven't looked at it that carefully, but you're seeing 6% growth. Do you think it's going to go back to 20-25% growth? Genuinely, in terms of for this brand, I can't see it.
Brilliant. Let me ask you a question, a bit personal, Vadim. What do you have on your feet?
What do I have on my feet?
Yeah.
What shoes?
Yeah.
Oh, so it's do you want to see them?
Yeah, go on. Show us your shoes. Yeah.
I will show you. I'm wearing On shoes. You know the On trainers?
Okay. Oh, yeah, for a lot of those. Yeah. They're good.
I have to say, so kind of like Fevertree, you know, I think they've come into a saturated market and somehow have created something new and they're doing really well.
My friend of mine came down a couple of weeks back with his new sort of girlfriend, and they both had Ons. He'd recommended them to her, and they both went. And they said it is walking on a cloud a bit. It's very comfortable shoes, you know.
They are.
Should I show you? There's a theme behind this. But should I show you what I'm wearing on my feet?
Yeah. Please do. Crocs.
Rainbow Crocs. That's because I walked through the garden to get to this my office. But I love my Crocs. I love them. Right. But listen, there's also we just mentioned there two obviously very particular about our footwear because they are branded and doing very well. But here's an update here from Dr. Martin Boots. It'd be lovely if you had a pair of Dr. Martin Boots out. But they've had a torrid time when it has come to IPOing. They IPO'd at top of the bull market. And look at that. Literally, what, 4.38, you know, 81 pence.
I never understood that IPO, quite frankly. I mean, Dr. Martin should have IPO'd in the 1980s when they were really, really popular.
Yeah, but the trouble is, apparently, I've talked to quite a few people now, and they say that their kids are in the Dr. Martin. They're still, it is surpassing generations, but they're not cheap. They're not cheap at all now. And if you looked at like the prices of Dr. Martin boots, it's phenomenal. And so in this cost of living crisis, you know, where we are, let's go to Dr. Martin's website here. And you can see they are promoting there. Let's look at this. Okay, except all. Oh, they want my credit cards already. But 180 quid. 180 quid for a pair of Dr. Martin boots. 170, 200, they are. But you can see that these are. But anyway, this is their trading update.
I haven't been in one of their shops or anything or seen the boots or the shoes recently.
Yeah, that's the problem.
When they were made back in the 80s, they were excellent. They were the most sturdy boot I'd ever seen. You know what I mean? I imagine.
How much are your Ons? How much are yours?
Well, that was back then. I couldn't even remember.
No, I mean your shoes you're wearing today. Your Ons.
Oh, the Ons, they're probably about 140 or 50 quid. They're pretty expensive.
Okay, so they are comparable to Dr. Martin's.
Yeah, they are pretty expensive. Time, yeah.
Next time, get some Dr. Martens, yeah?
But we're just worth it. Back to shoe wear. I am peculiar about these things. I used to be a loyal customer of ASICS, right? Because they're very, very comfortable. And these, I would say, compete. Companies just keep coming up with new things. That's what I mean about Fevertree. They go through their growth phase, and then it peters out when it gets saturated. What I don't understand about Dr. Martens is I never understood how the product, I thought the growth phase had passed, and you're right, there's intergenerational trends come and go, and maybe it's far more in an uptrend than I know. And you do see the retail shops did multiply. You know what I mean? Dr. Martens weren't around on the high street 10 years ago, and all of a sudden they appeared on the high street as shops. So yeah. There is demand there. I don't know. I could never invest in it. And I'm glad I didn't.
230 quid is the highest I've seen so far. So 230, 210. Wow, that's quite, for a book that's got all studs on them. You can see that generation of people, though, kids, yeah. That's the one you want to get redeemed.
High
length boot. Anyway, let's look at the trading update. This is what they said. They said Q3 performance is in line with updated full year guidance. Of course, they probably downgraded that. The revenue declined by 3% constant currency. What's direct to consumer? I think that DTC, isn't it? And wholesale was down 46%, resulting in group revenue down 18%. So you can see here.
That's brutal.
Well, look at this. All in brackets, pretty much wholesale. The only thing that's gone up is direct to consumer reported year 1% or 3%. So yeah, but anyway,
everything's down. Even e-commerce is down. Everything's down. it's not great, is it?
Guidance provided at the time of our H1 results for full year revenue declined a high single digit percentage year on year remains unchanged. All of the guidance remains unchanged. So we're saying that, unchanged there. So they may settle here, but they need to pick up a little bit from here because, like I said, is this the bottom? I don't know.
What's the price to sales or price to what is their metric of the valuation of the business.
Let's look. Dr. Martin's boots. So 784 million. They were over £1 billion company, but they're buying their own shares back as well. Half year report. So if we look at half year, we can sort of double that. But they're saying revenue is.
So it's probably one time sales roughly.
Yeah, one time sales now. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're saying okay. EBITDA margin 19%. 20% margin there.
That's not bad, actually. I have to say, that surprised me, the EBITDA margin and the EBITDA. So let's say we're doing 150 million in EBITDA, and you just said there's 700 million in market cap, right?
Right. I might do some more research into Dr. Martin boots. Oh,
it's worth a second look. I mean, maybe the balance sheet is the problem. I don't know.
They do. If I recall it, they did have a bit of debt here. So look, revenue there. So the profit for the period, 19 million, pretty much. Let's have a look. Borrowing's 33 on there. And 290 million there plus 33 million. So there we are. They have got a bit more. So their EV, their enterprise value is a bit higher than that. So it's
million. So and maybe the servicing of that.
Looks like the EV is about £1 billion, pretty much. So we are. So that's Dr. Martin Boots, Fevertree. I like Team 17. Right? It's one of the gaming companies have been hit massively over the last few years. They've been gone seriously in trouble, belly up pretty much, and looking for emergency funding. In fact, Tiny Build has won. But Team 17 was almost the golden child of this sector, but it's also taking the hammering. Now, this is where I see good recovery plays. When you get the best of the bunch, that's taking the hammering as well as everything else. It's just a time it may not play out, but it's worth looking. I mean, look at that. It's come down from a high of £8.70, and it's come down to, it did gap up today on these results. But I don't know why I put that there. But they did say that...
What's
the global games label? Sorry. So go on.
What's the current price? It was from
It's 223 at the moment. It's been down eight quid odd, is it? I think it was quid. But they do say in this, even there, where is it by? So they are 325 million market cap. And they do say good margin on the business. So it's not about for sales, really. All parts of the group perform well over the key Bank Friday, Black Friday festive periods. In particular, teams have games level. As a result, as communicated in November, management expect full year adjusted EBITDA to be at least 28 million. So there we are. What's that? If you talk, it hasn't got any debt. So we are
three. About 10 times.
11 times. So we're growing very well. Includes non-cash title impairments of up to 11.5 recognized in the period.
What was the growth rate of revenues? Because that's
In the last year, I don't think they're going to be growing, but they have grown very well the last few years. But it's worth doing some research on them. But it's one of those, can they get growth back? It's like many of the companies now, that growth, you know, will the growth come back? Well, I assume it will. I just think gaming is taking a bit of a hit. And of course, you've got that, you know, COVID period where people were doing more gaming. So it's hard, the comparables, you know, where will it settle? Where's the natural growth here? So you have to wait and see. But I do like Team 7. Like I said, they got a decent amount of cash. They got no debt. And they are, you know, cash generative. And they were growing. But it's actually, where will that growth settle now? I mean, we've went through a golden period for gaming companies during COVID lockdown. So it's, you know, it's a hard comparison. A couple of things. What else is there? A company I own a few shares in come up with trading result today, interim results. They're basically like a little bank. Banks don't loan to small businesses now. This company does. And Time Finance, they're called. So their own lending book is up 29%, 43 million. So the revenue's 15 point. They're only a 33 million market cap. So this is interim results. Okay. And profit before tax is 2.7 million. So you're going to be over 5 million in profit before tax. And they're only 30 million market cap. They've got a million in cash. It seems all good. Net assets up 7%, 63.9 million. So their net assets are way above, their net assets are literally double their share price where they are at the moment. And net tangible assets up 36. So even the net tangible assets are above the current share price. Strong visibility of future earnings with earning about 26%. Continued positive trading momentum throughout December gives significant confidence that full year trading will be at least in line with expectations. That's quite a nice result. So you want to hear that, don't you? It's nice when you hear that. And in fact, the chart on this is very good. I mean, it's come into a bit of a range, but look at that. It's done very well. And I see this continuing because banks are becoming more particular about who they loan to. And so, and as long as Time Finance are very capable of who they loan to and the payments don't go up, they are stepping in where the banks have left, you know, small and medium-sized businesses. So they do, you know, all kinds of finance for companies. But so I think it probably needs to go in a range a little bit now because it's traveled well, very well. But nevertheless, they keep improving. I think it'll move up again. But I quite like that time. I own a couple of those. Foxtons, by the way, beat expectations. Foxtons, another one. You know, I was nearly going to get into Foxtons because they didn't start a recovery. And I quite like that they do a lot of, through. It's not about just sales of real estate. You know, it's about lettings and all that stuff, which is a buoyant market in London. Yeah. You know, very buoyant.
Yeah, yeah.
But they have taken off a bit. And I was looking at them. I got a price alert on them. I put a price alert here and they gapped down. And sometimes I put two. I should be more particular about the price alerts I put on because I get so many, I ignore a lot of them. So my lesson is, you know, only put price alerts on companies you intend investing. So I did sort of the fundamental research on them and then I just wait then to see if the chart takes off. And it did, and I ignored it. And this is around about sort of 43 pence and now it's at 52. It's come off a little bit today, but nevertheless, they do say they've beaten the expectations for the year. The 157 million market cap. This is trading update. So 147 million adjusted operating profit of 14 million. Improvements across data, culture, brand, and look value. So lettings, which represents 70% of group revenue, grew 16%. So 70% of the business grew 16%, delivering over 100 million in revenue. Could be two lettings acquisitions. Sales outperformed. So the fastest growing large lettings agency in the UK, they say. So, interesting there. Be interesting to see when's there. they do say outlook is very good there, and all that stuff. But yeah, yeah. It's
well, I guess things. I mean it is a big risk to have called that ahead of time, right? Most people think of these plays as real estate sales, right? And with rates where they were, people were not expecting a rebound in the housing market, and it came. You know, that's the astonishing bit, is that there is a rebound going on. Prices are starting to go up again. And you've seen that with all the big housing stocks, right? You know, we mentioned Persimmon last time. You know, that even the builders are seeing their stocks re-rate upwards, which quite frankly is quite a surprise given where interest rates are. And, you know, irrespective of interest rates stopping and the fact that mortgage rates are coming back down, it took a brave person to pile into that sector. Yeah. Do you see what I mean? Don't you find like with all of the rate, we're at the top of the rate cycle, it's true. And rates may come down and that's fine, but they're not going down to 1%, you know? And I just feel like the mortgage pain hasn't been fully felt yet. I don't think it's going to cause a recession. I still believe that. But people who piled into Foxtons ahead of that or into, you know, Rightmove or anything related to real estate, and I buy it that they're, you know, lettings is one element to this. It's not all sales. It's not all about, you know, house sales. But nevertheless, it's a pretty big risk to have piled into that, don't you think?
In this rate environment? Dagger says, Wizz Air had some bad news today. Maybe a buy-in trend with airlines moving north. So you were in EasyJet.
EasyJet had a good announcement earlier in the week. Their stock actually rallied further. I was on rereading it. I mean, I'm still in and I'm going to stay in. I like the stock. I think it has traction. On rereading it, it wasn't as stellar as the shares reacted, in my opinion. You know, their shares reacted positively. I'm delighted. It's a good statement. Don't get me wrong. It's just that, you know, profits are smaller than I would have liked to see. But then again, it's also seasonal, right? So the quarter isn't traditionally their historic strong quarter, right? So it isn't a good barometer necessarily. I would say what you really want to be looking at is how their bookings are lining up for the year ahead. And that's strong, they're saying. So, you know, this quarter was okay. But it's really about the next few quarters, the next three quarters. So, yeah.
Well, there's a Q1 there for 125,000 flights. But yeah, no, I did look at that. I realized there are certain, well, in fact, it's even halves. Certain halves are loss making, aren't they? The other half is profit making. But passenger growth is almost headline loss before tax for the Q1 is 126, down from 133. But you can see the passenger growth 14% up year on year.
It's hard to glean from this quarter, from the numbers. Do you see what I mean? It isn't a representative quarter of the whole year. It just due to the seasonality of travel, right? So, but I guess in the outlook statements and all that, they're saying that things are going quite well for the full year, their expectations. So that's good.
Yeah, I mean, it did say here, I said, sent out Wizz Air today. I mean, having a good one. Although still early, bookings for summer 2024 are building well, with a turn of the year bookings period showing an increase in both volume and pricing compared to the same period last year.
Exactly. That's exactly the point. The point that that is, I think, the market has received well.
Okay. Look at that. It was previous sort of highs there, and 529 is trying to break those. But if you look at Wizz Air today, and it hasn't got as strong a brand as, let's be honest, EasyJet. And in fact, where do they fly to, Wizz Air? I don't know much about them. Is that their logo? If that is, it's awful. 2 billion market cap here, Q3 results. And in fact, what are they saying? Is the outlook bad? Because straight away, I'm seeing double-digit growth in passengers carried, total revenue up, EBITDA, up from a 2% minus, margin 1.8%, wow, operating loss 180, okay. So I ask him, what's the outlook then? It doesn't say, we have received awards, current trading starts being positive, selling load factors are trending at similar levels to last year. Oh, so they're similar levels, whereas EasyJet are better levels than last year, pretty much.
Yeah.
So maybe that's Long growth plans. Yeah, well, it doesn't seem as bullish there going forward.
What happened to the shares? Like,
well,
I missed the chart. What happened?
It was rising, and then it started to fall off this last few couple of weeks. Okay. But they are down -1.0, but they started lower and they've rallied. So they opened lower and rallied a bit. They're still below yesterday's close. But so I mean, the market's a little bit undecided. It's been bought up a little bit. So there we are. Is there anything else? Oh, there's IG Group as well. Obviously, the biggest trading platform in the UK.
Have things picked up a little bit?
Down 8% today on this news. So interim results, 6 months. And they say straight away, continued execution of strategy, sharp focus on clients, costs and capital has served the group well in soft market conditions to deliver attractive margins and return to shareholders. So they said their revenue's down pretty much, down 9%, net trading revenue down 19%. So yeah, it's all, well, in fact, no, it's that net interest income. Of course, the income's gone up, the income they earn on interest. But yeah, so obviously the market didn't like that. We remain confident and optimistic about the outlook for IG and can do well positioned. But it's a bit of a messy chart, IG. It's look at that. It was messy coming down, spiky, dropped off a cliff here, which I assume is 6 months ago, which is the March, results. And then it started rallying. I think CMC, which is in that space, came out with a very bullish trading update recently. Yeah. Maybe that was running in sympathy with that. And then all of a sudden, it's gapped down today. Look at that, down 7%. So, CMC markets, CMCX, literally, started to take up a little bit and gapped up on their trading update. But sometimes, trading updates, they give you the best and the highlights of everything. What you need, really, is results, because then you see the full picture. And
I would say that volumes in these so financial markets are what drive this, right? So if there's a recovery, liquidity improves, their trading improves, as in their stock trading increases, and therefore their revenues increase because it's whatever, commission based. But CMC we touched on not long ago, and it's in keeping with the recovery, whereas IG seems to be lagging here. They don't seem to be recovering.
Yeah.
There's a new tailwind that's emerging, which is markets are improving for all of these businesses. But it feels like CMC is the first mover out, whereas IG doesn't seem to be. And to be fair, it's become a lot more saturated, right? Remember when IG were really the dominant player, right? In spread betting, right? Spread betting, they were really the platform. But with all these new entrants, it feels like it's proven a bit more difficult for them. I don't know. Maybe that's the problem.
You know what's funny is I did a first time ever did that. I did a Zoom call with a classroom of sixth formers for my Champion Investor website. Championinvestor.co.uk. Yeah. Fancy. Because I mean, I want to encourage people to start learning about investing, taking an interest in it, because I think it can benefit you long term. And so it went very well. And one of the guys was asked, "What do you hold?" In fact, they asked, "Who's doing best in the class?" And this guy says, "I am." And he said, "What do you hold?" And he said, "NARF Industries." And I thought, I've heard them. I don't know nothing about them at all. In fact, they came out with a trading update today at 15%. So I thought, that's interesting. So it's a corporate update. They call NARF a 14 million market cap. And so well done to that sixth former who picked these, because year-over-year revenue growth, 130%, because from a low base, but nevertheless, up from 2.5 to 6 million. So EBITDA positive, improving from loss. I led a loss last year of 2.6. So the company there ending cash of 1.4, up from 1.2 last year. So it's very interesting. They're in cybersecurity, specializing in high-end threat intelligence and critical infrastructure security. So it's very interesting. There's a lot of players in that space, but it can get quite thick. But they seem to be turning around. It seems to be a lot of board appointments here. So you assume the previous board has been kicked out. And now these are restructuring it and they're changing it around. So,
What's the chart done?
Yeah, well, it hasn't really rallied that much. So, it was quite interesting to see that the sixth former picked a stock I'd never heard of.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to look at and buy this stock.
Yeah, well, look at that. So that could be a good recovery play. That, I mean, it's down the trend, but it's really broken onto that 200-day moving average today. Yeah. And if it can move up, it would be quite good. But it seems, you know, early days, but it seems like the new board are turning it around, you know?
Yeah, yeah, that looks interesting. The growth is pretty strong, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, Dagger says, Wizz took a hit on the Israel flight, so because they got Israel sort of, yeah, yeah.
But they all did. Wizz, EasyJet, they all took a hit. EasyJet in their statement, like, I'm just saying it. It's impacted all the discount airlines, and, you know, they...
I suppose, though, I listened to a statement from, I think it was a BA or someone related to BA, and they said it literally it's less than 1% of their flights, so half of 1% of BA's flights. I suppose it depends how many flights you run to that, how big it takes up with your, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. Marvelous stuff. Cheers for that, everyone. Thank you very much. If you could hit that thumbs up button if you like the content, and subscribe to the channel by all means. And don't forget, there's a Vox Markets app that's free to use. Just download it at voxmarkets.co.uk/app. Vadim, thanks very much for it. Speak next week.
Excellent. Thanks, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.